Blog Talk Radio.
Benjamin Brothers Realty presents The Michael Van Tol Show, an inspirational community affairs program produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group, LLC. Experts in providing support services for new businesses. Call 248-516-8300. Benjamin Brothers Realty can help you buy, sell, or learn how to do real estate investing. Call them at 331-248-7120 to find them, fix them, and flip them. And now, author, recording artist, community worker, and Cast Tech graduate, Michael Van Tol.
What you'll ever need, just when you think it ain't, it's gonna be. Just call his name and you'll see what I mean. Because he loves you unconditionally.
Good morning. Thank you so much for getting up with us. This is the Michael Van Tol Show. The Sunday morning team is here. It must be cold out. Let's jump right into it. Henrietta Ivey, our political analyst and a home care advocate here in Detroit. Good morning, Henrietta.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning to the amazing Sunday morning team, and good morning, Detroit.
Kimberly Batchelor Davis, our lifestyle editor and an author, speaker, podcaster. Good morning, Kimberly.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning to our amazing Sunday morning team. Shout out to missionary Hattie Humphrey on this cold, brisk morning. And good morning, Detroit.
Yes. Chaplain Kathy from the International Police and Fire Chaplains Association and a gospel musician. Good morning, Chaplain.
Good morning to you, Mike. Good morning to the Sunday morning team. Good morning to the missionary. Amen. And hey, good morning to Detroit.
Yes. And we've got the latest news and weather coming up. We've got commentary from the Sunday morning team. And I am, like everybody else, trying to deal with the cold. And but let's get right into the news. Thank you for those who you are listening online on blogtalkradio.com. Heavy snow continues to pile up in western New York State, including the Buffalo area, where they are digging out after being buried under 6 feet of snow. Just after 11 p.m. last night, the National Weather Service issued a special bulletin warning of yet another heavy band of snow falling at a rate of 2 to 3 inches per hour. Erie County, which includes Buffalo, recorded its largest ever amount of snowfall in a 24-hour period. Drivers are getting tickets for violating travel bans throughout the area, the Erie County executive said. Flights have been canceled in western New York. Cars are buried under snow. In some cases, you can't even tell if a car is there or not. Cities don't know where to dump their snow, and sporting events like the NFL games have been moved. The Buffalo Bills Cleveland Browns game has been moved here to Detroit today, since the Buffalo Bills stadium is buried under snow. Elon Musk has restored Donald Trump's Twitter account after a poll was taken on Twitter. Trump has 50 million followers on Twitter, more than his own social media site, Truth Social. It's not certain if Trump will begin tweeting again. The U.S. continues to be riddled with gun violence not seen anywhere in the world. This past week, universities, nightclubs, and high schools have all suffered mass shootings that continue on a weekly basis. Last night, a shooting at a LGBTQ club called Club Q in Colorado Springs left 5 dead and 18 injured. The carnage continues in this country. RSV joins the flu and COVID as the big three in health concerns this winter. RSV is a common contagious airborne virus that causes infections of the respiratory tract. This fall, it mainly has hit children, especially 5 and under. But now senior citizens are reporting the infections too. RSV can cause nasal congestion, dry coughs, fever, breathing problems, sore throats, headaches, and in severe cases have caused death, including here in Michigan. I just was putting together my last story here about a Detroit man and his neighbor who fought over a package that was misdelivered from Amazon last year, Thursday morning, just a couple of days ago, the two fought over that package. The package was being requested back from this guy named Mike, who is an avid gun collector. He actually served 60 days in jail because of this incident over the past year. He's a gun collector. He barricaded himself, but he shot his neighbor over that package a year ago. He barricaded himself and threatened suicide, but the police chief, Chief White, was able to go in and talk the barricaded gunman out. But unfortunately, he did shoot and kill his neighbor over a package. Before I go to the rest of the team, that is something that I just can't understand why so many people go right to go get a gun and shoot somebody. That seems to be the answer of how to fix things, how to deal with disputes. And I think our schools need a class on conflict resolution, and they need to include it in the curriculum, because this is a social problem, and it causes homicide. I don't know what else it takes for schools to include and take it seriously. This is a disaster in our community, and there should be something in the schools where there's conflict resolution, how to handle disagreements without going to get a gun. I don't get it. All right, let's go down the list. Let me get from the Sunday morning team. Henrietta Ivy, go right ahead.
Good morning. And you know what, Michael? I'm going to piggyback off that conversation because there is definitely a serious, serious problem in this country with gun control. And it's a serious, serious problem in this country because now a lot of the guns have fallen into the hands of people with mental health issues. And, you know, that story just kind of struck me when I sat up here on that morning when that news story came across TV. And I'm like, wow, you're shooting somebody over a package. It's like, it is seriously something going on in our country with mental health issues. We have got to address that, number one, because if we don't address it, we're going to have these problems continuously, and the fact that the guns are in the hands of people who may not need to have them in their possession. And so that's some legislation and policy that needs to be written all across this country. And until that happens, we're going to continue to hear stories like that moving forward. And so I just feel like that's where we began. We began with strong legislative policy, and that's going to be a battle because you have your gun holders who hold strong to their amendment right to carry and bear arms. And until we figure out how to rewrite that amendment, we're going to continue to have this problem. And I feel like it's going to get worse because, again, people don't fight no more. They shoot. And that's just where we are with it right now.
Yes. All right. Thank you, Henrietta. Kimberly Batchelor-Davis.
Good morning. I agree with everything that you guys have said. It's interesting. I do have a feel-good story, but I just want to say this briefly. I've been talking to friends of mine who are teachers, and they're all struggling. And the reason that they're struggling is because many of these kids, the things that we're talking about, not knowing how to resolve conflict, not knowing how to navigate emotions, not knowing how to do the basics of being able to sit still in school, have been lost, and they're struggling. So not only are you teaching, but you're trying to be a therapist to a child. You're trying to be a social worker. You're trying to be a caregiver in some instances. I have a friend who's a teacher who talks about one of her kids that smells like urine. And we were talking about that we have social programs that will help with that. And if you haven't read Viola Davis's memoir, it is an amazing read. Viola Davis struggled with that for many years as a young child because they were devastatingly poor. they didn't have a washer and dryer. They literally were living in a building, an apartment building that was condemned. And so my feel-good story is a good night's sleep really does make us happier. And as I was listening to you guys, and when I pulled this story, I thought, okay, this is a good, healthy fact for us to remember. But I wonder how many people, Michael, you talked about the neighbor who shot the other neighbor over the gun. And I don't want to simplify it, but so many things in our lives, how complicated have we made things? Sleep now has become one of the big issues for many people. Many people, millions of people, not only in America, but around the world, struggle with insomnia. A good night's sleep really does make us happier by dampening negative emotions. Researchers at the Department of Neurology of the University of Bern and the University Hospital Bern found this process occurs during REM sleep, the time when people have the most intensely emotional dreams. The study published in the Journal of Science shows how sleep is a vital method of improving mental health as it dampens negative emotions and reinforces positive ones. Rapid eye movement, or REM, will not only be of interest to the patients, but also to the broad public, concluded the researchers that were doing this particular study. So as we talk about this, sleep is very important. We talk about how we have to eat healthy. We have to look at what we digest, not only what we put in our mouth, but what we put in our brains. And I think we also have to look at how we sleep. Those are very, very important topics that need to be discussed. Chaplain, are you still with us?
Are you guys there?
Yes,
I'm here.
Okay, I don't know what happened there. It was just like
a major. Yeah,
something
going on, like jumping in and out. Yeah.
A major failure there. I tried calling from two different phones. I think Kimberly, are you back with us?
I am. What happened? I'm sorry. I was talking, and next thing I know, it was all of a sudden, this was quiet.
Yes, everything just crashed. I think it was something with the Blog Talk Network. It just, like, crashed all of a sudden.
It's cold.
And now, yeah, and then I tried calling in, and it dumped both of my calls off. So right now I'm actually, I had to dial in myself. So.
Wow.
Anyway, I think we're all. We're still having some issues. Looks like the calls are dropped. They're dropping again. Can anybody hear me?
Yeah, because mine is dropping in and out.
I can hear you.
Yeah.
I can hear you now.
Yeah.
Mike. I do like the fact that we're not blaming it on the devil. Don't give no devil no credit for this. It's just technically different.
Exactly.
You know how we say, girl, that ain't nothing but the devil. No, it's technical difficulty. Don't give the devil no credit.
You know, man has, that's one thing. Man has the ability to make decisions. We have the ability to make decisions on our own, too, don't we? So
absolutely.
We can choose to do right or wrong, good or bad. We can choose what color. We can choose how high, how low. I mean, we can choose to do it or not do it. And
true.
So, right. So we can't always blame it on something, somebody else or something else. So some stuff.
Listen,
you know,
don't even give them no credit.
Man.
No,
but
that's
it,
man. We give them too much credit, man. First
much
thing
credit,
we say.
For real.
Yeah. And now that's why it seems as if the devil got so much pull, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And it sees into everything. And we stop giving him credit and just say, Lord, can you just help me right now? Everything
period.
Will turn out on one, man. Period.
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 I love it. I'm serious. Yeah.
Yeah, man, I love it. I love it, Mike. Say that. Go ahead, Mike.
Kimberly, are you back, Kimberly?
I'm back.
Okay, I know that everybody has been dumped off at least two times now, and I see you, Kimberly. I think you've been dumped. Yeah, I'm just looking at the log here. Everybody's been dumped off at least twice. So, okay, mm-hmm. We were right in the middle of yours, but let's pick up from where you left off.
Well, essentially, the article was really talking about that sleep is important, and I'll pull out a statement. It says, without the ability to discriminate between these emotions, so they're looking at when you sleep, your brain shuts off your danger response. Not that if a house catches on fire or anything like that, you don't understand it. You're asleep. So you can dream about all kinds of, but your body knows that you're safe. So it cuts off the danger response. When you're awake, of course, your danger response is on because you're alert. You can see things. And it says, without the ability to discriminate between these emotions, humans are more likely to experience excessive fear, which can lead to anxiety disorder. And I think that's an important point. Hello?
Yes.
Okay.
One thing about some people, when they sleep, they are completely out of it. I'm like that. I don't mm-hmm. hear anything. I don't hear noise. I mean, sometimes I'm afraid of not hearing anything. It has to be mm-hmm. something very loud to wake me up. And mm-hmm. One thing I'm glad about is that I have a 20-year-old that is here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he will most likely hear something quick before I do.
Mm-hmm.
And because I, you know, I could wake up in the morning and they say, did you know we watched a movie last night and you didn't hear us, we had popcorn and we had pop and we were watching a movie. I never knew that they were just sitting watching a movie next to me and I was sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Mrs. Van Tool would have to tell me when I wake up in the morning that,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, or something happened outside, like a fire truck came
mm-hmm.
up or EMF
mm-hmm.
with the neighbor or something like that. And I did not have one clue as to what happened. So,
mm-hmm.
but I do believe that, and that's what sleep is all about. You wake up, if you have a good night's sleep, you wake up and you're ready for the morning. You're ready
yes.
for the day.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you,
mm-hmm.
you got a new set of energy. And
mm-hmm.
I've worked overnight before. Let me tell you, to be up all night working or not sleeping, I
mm-hmm.
have driven home. Matter of fact, I have pulled over to take a
mm-hmm.
nap that I was so tired in
mm-hmm.
the morning when I worked
mm-hmm.
overnight. When I
mm-hmm.
drive out of town, if I'm tired, I pull over. I'll move
mm-hmm.
over to a McDonald's or a rest stop. I will pull
mm-hmm.
over and take a nap until I'm good enough to drive. I'm not going to drive. You
mm-hmm.
see those single car accidents
mm-hmm.
sometimes, and you wonder, how did that happen?
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? They fell asleep. It's no big mystery. They just fell asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen, I just saw something a couple weeks ago where it was a single car accident, and they just ran right into a tree. They never woke up from it. They never woke up
mm-hmm.
from it. You know, that's
mm-hmm.
one thing. You know, you can be fall asleep driving, and
mm-hmm.
you will never
know.
Because you died and you never knew
mm-hmm.
that you fell asleep.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know,
yep.
when the last time you were awake was when you were at the stoplight or a mile back, you crash
mm-hmm.
into something, you never wake up. I tell you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you can't, there's
sleep
nothing you can do about it.
This is very important. I was glad
you
Kimberly brought that up because One thing I do know, if I get a good 8 hours of sleep, and I'm speaking from example, I can rule the world the next day, literally. I found that when I get less than 6 hours worth of sleep, I'm struggling. I'm pulling energy from here and there. I'm finding myself not being very focused and even have a little bit of an attitude because I'm cranky. But once I get that 8 hours of good sleep, oh, my God, I look better. I feel better. I think better. I move better. I'm glad that Kim brought it up because I think that's probably what's affecting a lot of our mental status in this country, down to the point of the mental health issue. People are not sleeping. Mm-hmm. A lot of our young people are not sleeping. They're up all night.
It's like
night.
They're going to miss something if they go to sleep.
Exactly.
You know, it's like they're going to miss out on some action. And they try to stay up as long as they can. And a lot of young people, And I don't think, and now with the smartphones and video games.
You can't turn it off.
And all these social sites.
You can't turn it off.
They can't turn it off.
And my husband, my husband works in mental health. And he says when he works with the patients, because sometimes he works overnight. And so people that work during the night shift, like you said, Michael, you can be really sleepy, have an accident or drive and die, and, you know, nobody, you wouldn't know anything. But my husband, he had to adjust to sleeping or to working overnight, so not being able to sleep at night and having to learn how to sleep during the day, which is difficult. And a lot of people who do that reverse, you know, we have that in our bodies called the circadian rhythm, which is supposed to be in tune with the sun and the moon. And so when the sun goes down, you're supposed to naturally get sleepy and go to bed. And then when the sun comes back up, you're supposed to wake up. So when you do the reverse of that, it changes your body. It puts people that do that type of work, whatever it is that where they have to work overnight, it puts their body into stress and makes things difficult. Now, there are some people who say, oh, I love it, you know, and it works really well for them. But then there are other people that have adverse reactions. But my point was my husband's, his number one complaint about working on the floor in the hospital is that none of his patients will go to sleep. All they want to do is get up and walk. And he said that, and I said, it has to be something with sleep. He said they just walk and talk. And he said, and oftentimes it's not, you know, we have this image of what we think mentally challenged or mentally ill people are. He says a lot of times they just be talking. And sometimes he's like, what are you talking about? And other times it's you know, it's interesting, but he said they just talk and walk. And he said it's hard to get people to settle. He said it's like dealing with your kid. You know, when you have a child and you're trying to teach your child how to sleep, it's like that, but now you're dealing with adults. And
I wonder,
they can't sleep.
What's going through their minds that they can't relax?
Sleep.
I wonder the messages that they're getting in their brain. You know, I just feel sorry for them because they can't do something about it on their own because it has overtaken their mind. And I think there's a spiritual component to it. And I'm not trying to say that all of them are possessed or some demonic possession. But can you imagine if Jesus was here today? He would walk into some of these places and just touch them and heal them.
And gave them peace,
from what they're going through. And I wish it was that simple for us. I wish it was that simple to cure and take whatever they're going through in their mind. And it must be overwhelming because they have no control over it, and I think that's why they commit suicide. That's why they're walking up and down all night. They're restless, and that just lets you know that something is gripping their mind and distracting them. And I just really feel sorry because if they could fix it on their own, you know they would. Because they don't want to go through that stuff.
Mm-mm.
They don't want to go through that.
Mm-mm.
Yes. Chaplain, I think this is a good place for you to jump in.
Yeah, because put my hand up. You put your hand up so high, it just got stuck right there, and then I realized that they can't see me.
Well, I must have sensed it or something. I could sense that you wanted to say something, and I know that you work in that area too.
Yeah, Proverbs 22:6 tells it, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The problem with the way the children are today is because of how they were raised, how they were brought up. It doesn't matter how much social media is out here, how much whatever is out here. If we raise our children and bring them up according to the standards and principles in which God has put in place, then we won't have those particular problems and issues that other families and other individuals are having that whom are not raising and training and bringing up their children according to scripture. These things that are happening in life are the suicidal things. These things, all of these things starts at home. There's a breakdown somewhere at home. Home is connected to your school. Home is connected to your job. How often do we bring or do we take to school what we was going through at home? Or we take to our job the things that we were going through at home? You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I think one of the best things to do is that when we're training up our children in the ways that they should go so that they would not depart, we need to be training them in a home instead of a house. I wish I had some help on here. See, a lot of them are raising their kids in a house, and they don't have no home structure. So that's how come things are the way that they are. For us that are adults, the Bible declares that once you're a child, you breathe in air like a child. When you get old, you put all childish things away. That includes our reasoning. We as adults don't want to let go of our reasoning. We want to get older, but yet hold on to our reasoning, hold on to the things that rationalizes and only makes what we're doing it becomes nothing more than deceptive intelligence. Deceptive intelligence is those things that we use to rationalize and rectify the things that we're supposed to be doing that's right in the stands with God. So it has to do with home. It has to. If your child is out of control, you got to start at home. Stop treating this child like y'all. Stop acting like y'all in a house. Y'all living in just a house. This is your home. How you going to treat your home now will determine how you treat it when you get your own home. You see? So, and if I may begin just briefly on the guy that shot the guy over the package, it's a terrible thing. But again, we have gotten older, so now we are able to see and understand some of the things that we saw based on what it is that we're watching. We're watching these things. We watch them on the news. We read about them in the magazines. So these are the things that we're watching. So our reasoning is so open because we're not distracted by the things that we would do as a child. You see? So I think that it's just important for us to start at home. We should start to stop at home. And start and connect with anybody that comes into our home and to try to get them to see that there is a better way to resolve conflicts. It's called conflict resolution. It's a better way to do it. And no matter how angry you get, when you do what you do, you are going to stand alone. Not Y, not O, but you. You are going to be you by yourself. Dealing with whatever you cause. God bless you today.
Amen. Yes.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thanks for sharing that.
Amen.
Thanks for sharing that. And these things like conflict resolution, it's got to start early, and you also have to keep your mind free from a lot of dangerous information dangerous, looking at things that are harmful, listening. You got to care for your your mind and what goes through it. You know, but I mentioned earlier, what would Jesus do if he was here now, and how it would he would just approach people and know that that's not who they are, and you know, and heal them from from their mental illness. You know, I don't, as you know, I'm not a Bible scholar or anything like that.
Here you go, running.
Here you go, y'all.
No, I know. I'm with him. Here you go, running.
There you go. Get some skates,
run for it, run.
He ain't running no more. He
chaplain,
got on skates.
Chaplain, chaplain. Yeah. There are instances in the Bible. I'm not a Bible scholar, but I know that there are instances in the Bible where Jesus did.
Would you get off that hoverboard, man? Would you get off that hoverboard?
I think somewhere in Matthew, around the 8th chapter and the 28th verse.
Looks like you're trying to play it off.
If I'm not mistaken, it does say something about when Jesus came to the other side of the country of Gadarenes, that a demon-possessed man confronted him as they were coming out of the tombs. And so they were so extremely violent that no one could pass that way. And they cried out saying, "What business do you have with us, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" And there was a herd of many pigs feeding in the distance from them. And the demons begged them, saying, "If you're going to cast us out, send us into the herd of pigs." And he said unto them, "Go." And they came out and went into the pigs, and behold, the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the waters. That's not the only case. I know there are others. Quote me, but I know there are other scriptures where that has happened. Now, you know, when I came on this morning, I wasn't going to talk about that, you know. I didn't even know we were going to talk about this. But, you know, I'm just glad that from what I did learn as a child growing up in my, as a preacher's kid, I did pay attention to some of the Bible stories my mom and dad told me while I was growing up. It wasn't all a waste of time, you know. And it's strange now. It's like what I would pay to go back and sit in a sermon and listen to my dad preach. You know, I used to think when I was growing up, oh, it's another Sunday. We got to go to church again. Oh, how many times do we have to go to church? My dad's getting ready to do the sermon. Oh, my mother's doing the sermon today. You know, but those days are gone. I remember that series about the church.
Who you remind me of? It would definitely be you, man. Our family, your mother, when you talk about your father, that definitely be your upbringing in the church. Green Leaf would definitely fit you guys' repertoire real good. But greater is he that is in you than he that is of this world. Know that the body of Jesus is gone, but his spirit lives on forever. Told his disciples, don't marvel at what I'm doing, because the things that I'm doing, you can do them also. So we have to step out on what God has already said. I wish I had some help on here. You got to step out on what he already said. People stop wearing that "what would Jesus do" bracelets and chains and all of that, because they realize that he wouldn't be in a casino. He wouldn't be in the club twerking. He wouldn't be in the bonds. He wouldn't be saying the things that you're saying. See, when we put on the whole armor of God, it covers us. It protects us. It shields us. It puts us in a position where we can face anything. And that's the thing. We're not putting on the whole armor. We're just putting on parts of it. And when we step out, we have to put on the whole armor of God. When them soldiers and when we're going to war, they put on everything. They put on everything that would get them through. And some made it back and some didn't. But I tell you this here, if we stay focused on God, he will make everything all right. No one said this thing is going to be easy. That's why a lot of parents used to tell you, you better stay a child while you're a child, because when you get grown, it ain't going to be like that. That's why the parents and grandparents used to say that. Because now that we've gotten older, we see life for what it is becoming rather than what it should be. I wish I had a little help. You hear that? We see life for what it is becoming rather than what it should be. Well, somebody ought to shout right there. Amen.
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 You know, Chaplain, I don't know how you got us into this preaching mode today, but you know you are right about we have the ability to have some of the same powers that God had if we do what he says and tap into it, because, you know, God is the ultimate source of power, right? So all power comes from him. And that means that we can pray for somebody to be healed. And haven't you heard of people praying over somebody and they are healed?
Yeah, but here's the thing. People pray, and I promise for cutting you off. You are absolutely right. We can pray and people will be healed. But the reason why a lot of us pray and people don't get healed is because we don't even believe in, we're not believing in the healing power of our own self. We got to step in this thing of faith and believe that it's going to be. The Hebrews 11:1 says, a faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we have, I wish I had just some little help on here today.
Amen. Amen.
Come on.
We got to step out on faith in order for the healing to be manifested. We got to step out there.
Yes, we get power from God through the Holy Spirit. So there are things that we can do as Christians.
Hot water.
But we think we don't have any influence over something, but if we do and follow exactly what God says, and this includes so much, and I ain't trying to preach up in here, but it's like in order to be able to do some of the things that Jesus did, we would have to live like him. We would have 24/7. We would have to, it's like a complete change and completely immerse yourself into what God wants and expects us to live on a regular basis. You know, he told the disciples to wait for the power they needed. But, you know, I think it's, here we go again. I think it's in Acts, and I'll have to go to it to find, I think it's Acts chapter 1, verse 8, if I'm not mistaken. It does say something about, I don't even have Acts in front of me. I have to go look, and I think I really do believe it's in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and it talks about when Jesus talked to his disciples and was telling them, you know, to go to the ends of the earth, that if you are without the Holy Spirit, you cannot get things done, that you'll be just spinning your wheels, you know, something like that. Yeah. But I'll have to go
look it up and see what it actually says. But it does say, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. But I was trying to remember where it said that Jesus told them that you have the power through me to heal people and to, you know, do different things. You can show and witness God's power. That, you know, that's what I said. Look, let's get to weather. Here's what we do. Let's take a little station break. We'll come back with weather after these messages. And I don't know if you guys could hear.
I can hear you, though.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's part of the system failure. But my thanks to Attorney Johnny Hawkins, the warrior lawyer. Just had a nice conversation with him this past week. He is doing well and enjoying the California weather, which is a lot warmer than it is here. As you know, he flies back and forth from San Diego area to Detroit, back and forth on a regular basis. But he is the warrior lawyer, and if you have legal cases and you want the best, call Attorney Johnny Hawkins. And Benjamin Brothers Realty, thank you for your support this year. Appreciate it. Can't be on radio, I'm telling you. Can't be on radio without takes money. So I appreciate the support of these sponsors. All right. You're listening to the Michael Van Tool Show, Detroit's news and inspiration podcast, Sunday mornings with the Sunday morning team. Henrietta Ivy is here. Kimberly Batchelor Davis, Chaplain Kathy. My name is Michael Van Tool. Kimberly, what's the weather like besides cold? My car didn't start yesterday.
It is currently 19 degrees. Ooh, Bishop, wow. I know you won't give me any help on this one.
You got no help. I'm letting you know it's bad.
It's currently 19 degrees. I'm looking out my window, and there are a few flurries. If you woke up this morning and you went to sleep early yesterday, you probably woke up and you're like, oh, it snowed last night. It did. There's snow on your grass and on the rooftop. So today's high will be 29 degrees with a low of 20. We are expecting a few flurries today. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high of 39 and a low of 24. On Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high of 45 and a low of 28. And on Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high of 48 degrees, y'all, a low of 32. Thursday, rain will develop late. We expect a high of 48 degrees and a low of 35. And on Friday, rain, snow showers will make their appearance. We're expecting a high of 43 with a low of 33. And next Saturday, more rain and snow shower with a high of 40 and a low of 34. So Thanksgiving is on Thursday, November 24th. So rain is expected to develop late. So probably in the afternoon as people are going to dinner or in the evening with a high of 48 and a low of 35. And that's the weather.
All right. Well, you know, got a little help on here.
Winter
a little
is here.
Help on
here. Winter is here.
And Michael,
I need one
of
all those leaves fall off that tree. We're going
to get this. Right. Michael, I got two scriptures for you. Matthew 11 and 28 says, come to me, all you who are weary, and I shall give you rest. John 14 and 26 says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Be blessed this morning.
Yes, thank you, thank you.
Amen. If I could drop a scripture, if I could drop a piece on that, that's what the doctor said. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. You got to praise him when you stand up. You got to praise him when you get up. You got to praise him when you think it's not going. I wish I had some help on here. You got to give him anyhow praise. You got to give him the praise even when it's 40 degrees and you want it to be 80. We got to lift him up. And we continue to lift him up. Bless that wonderful name, Jesus. That's a song. Bless that wonderful name, Jesus. No other name. I know. Oh, God bless you. I'm going to preach this thing this morning. God bless y'all.
Amen. I like that. And I told you, I have the formula, and I can't wait for the new year to get here because I found the formula for Sunday mornings. We're going to go into hard news and interviews for the first 30 minutes. And a very good friend of mine who I just mentioned his name a few minutes ago, who I had a conversation last week, gave me this suggestion and said, Mike, do a power-packed first half hour from 9 to 9:30. And then after that, lighten it up. So that is my plan for the new year. We're going to have a power pack 9 to 9:30, and then after at 9:30, then we can break it down. We can have our spiritual conversation. Sometimes one will tie right into the other, and then we can have our regular conversations like we normally do. I want to do this so to take us to another level in 23, and that's what the suggestion was, and I'm going to go with that suggestion. When successful people tell you something, it's like a little nuggets of you need to listen because think they make. Okay? How do you think they got where they are? And so like what's that God trying to tell you something?
You nailed it. You nailed it because that is, I think, for all of us who are pursuing our dream, moving forward, trying to, hit that mark that we know we're going to hit, we have to listen to people who's already there. I learned in my own life, I can't listen to people outside of my circle because most of the people outside of my circle, which includes my radio family, my business, coaches and everything, they are there. So I listen to y'all. I listen to people who have a formula that's working, and I clearly can see that the formula is working. You have to listen to people who have the formula because you're not going to make it.
Right, aren't you surprised, Henrietta, when somebody who ain't doing nothing, don't know nothing,
got a whole lot to say,
failed at everything, and they have the nerve, they have the nerve to go and tell you something. You know what, Kimberly? If I was you, Kimberly, I wouldn't write a book. I wouldn't write anymore.
Right. Okay,
And why are you, what gives you the authority to tell me that? What do you know so much about? They're just giving you bad advice, all the time. And you got to think about who's telling you the stuff,
So let me drop this on you. Ephesians 4:11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. I've had people say that to me, Michael, that I shouldn't write books because they're like, okay, well, what are you doing? I said, I'm doing what God gave me a gift to do. That's God's gift. That's my ministry. Right. I'm not trying to start a church. No offense. I'm not trying to be a preacher. I know when people say, well, Kim, you, I said, yeah, but I'm doing what I'm supposed to do in Christ. I study the Word of God. I try to make sure that I understand so that I can give an answer when someone has a question and help them on their way to the Lord. But I work with what I'm supposed to do. If everybody would do that, the world would be a much better place.
Yeah, let me tell you, when you write a book, that book is going to be here forever. It is recorded in the Library of Congress. You got people have copies of that book. Look, I don't know. I have sold hundreds of books since I wrote Speak On It back in 2000, around 2000. People still have them. People still read them. And when I'm gone, that book is still going to be out. And I don't know.
One of the
things have a way of coming back. You know what's going to happen with that book, with your book, Kimberly. I don't know.
My book has been bought, purchased, and the motherland.
I might be dead and gone.
Africa.
That book will hit people will start. They have to reprint them again. You know, a hundred years from now. You just never know.
You never know.
Do what God is instructing you to do. Do what God tells you to do. We got 7 minutes left. But do what God is instructing you to do. And you know when there's the enemy's coming to tell you stuff.
You know, you feel it. You can see it. It's a feeling you get.
I found out that when I plan on something big and start working on it, I get all of a sudden problems start coming at me.
Problems that I didn't have.
And every time that happens, I know I'm on the right track. And now when I look back at the problem, I don't even remember what the problems were. I know what I accomplished during that time, but I can't even remember what the problems were. But guess what? God took care of those problems and made sure that they didn't. And I didn't let those things stop me from accomplishing something, whether it was writing a book, recording a CD, doing a banquet, a major event, speaking. Sometimes you may be called to speak at some big event, you know, and you are trying to. I talked to my neighbor the other day. He has not been on vacation in a long time, and she finally got a chance to go on vacation, and she lost her driver's license hours before she was supposed to go catch the plane. That's what happens when you're trying to do something. The enemy wants you to fail. He wants you to have problems. He wants you to give up. So he's going to throw stuff at you. But guess what? I told her, take everything that you got that can identify you, and just be honest and let them know that you lost your driver's license. Take your birth certificate, voter's registration card, take your work ID.
Everything.
Passport.
She got on that plane. They let her on without her driver's license.
And there it is.
And she didn't even have a passport. She did not have a passport either, but they still let her on. But I'm just saying to those who may be listening that don't get tripped up, afraid, scared, or anything. When you're getting ready like a job interview and you got to go do a job interview and your car doesn't start, well, you better start. Call somebody right away. Get an Uber. Do something. Let that just work around that. Don't let it mess you up, because guess what? You're probably going to get hired at that interview. That's why your car doesn't start. Let me stop trying to preach up in here.
No, you're doing good, Mike. But let them know, please, whatever they do,
Don't say that ain't nothing but the devil. Stop saying that. Stop the people
right,
say
right,
that.
Right.
That ain't nothing
no,
but the devil. My car
that,
won't start.
But you just,
and then you find
but,
out you ain't have no gas. You hear me?
Right, right. Start, start working.
Why?
Start working.
You find out you ain't had no gas. You done gave the devil all this credit and praise.
Oh, my God.
Every time we go through something, go ahead. I'm going to let you go ahead and say your thought, Mike. Go ahead.
Stop talking about stuff that happened to me before, because that happened to me.
Yeah, people been telling you all along.
I just bought a new car, and it said the dial said 17 miles left, and so I'm thinking, okay, I got 17 miles to go, but so I made a right turn. I remember where it was. I'll never forget it. I was at Telegraph, Ford Road and Telegraph. Made a right turn onto Telegraph from westbound Ford, made a right turn to go north on Telegraph, and my car started choking. So I was like, I can't believe this. I just bought this car. Why is it cutting out on me? So I called for a wrecker, had it towed to the dealership, and they called me back. And the guy was just halfway laughing when he called me. He said, we brought it in, and we checked it out, and we figured out what was wrong, Mr. Van Tool. Can you fill up your tank of gas when you get here? Because you are out of gas. And that is exactly what happened to me. And I realized that don't go by what it said. They said, yes, I had 17 miles left, but I have two fuel pumps. And it was so low that it wasn't pumping the fuel that was left. That's why I cut out. I made a sudden quick turn, and that displaced the gas that was in there, and it wasn't able to pump. So that's what they explained to me. So and then after that, I realized, okay, I need to make sure and keep a look. Don't let it run down.
Absolutely.
You know, to about, okay.
Even with
go ahead, Chaplin.
That's
I know
even
you're
with
talking
our
about
lives, that. Bro. That's even with our life. We got to stay girded up in God. When we feel like we're having a bad day, we need to pray because that's our gas. That's our gas. I wish I had some help on here.
Look at
that's our gas. When you get to you feel like you on the edge, and you feel like, listen, God, if God wakes you up another day, it's because he has a purpose for your life in spite of what you've been through yesterday. He ain't going to let you run out of gas. We run out of gas. We slow down. We stop. We get the punch, and then, here go the devil. That ain't nothing but the devil. Sometimes when we get in an argument, we got to look at what we said, how we came off. We got to start looking at ourselves, which is why the Bible declares, and I say it all the time, greater is he that is in you than he that is of the world. We have to tap into that greater.
Father,
say that.
Sister, or brother, it's me standing in the need of prayer.
Exactly.
Look, guys, we're going to end it. We got to end it there. We had a great conversation this morning. We had that little kind of system failure earlier, but look, we got right past that and we kept it going. This was a great conversation this morning.
Yeah.
Thank you all. I'm headed to church. I'll try to get there within the next 30 to 45 minutes, but I am on my way. I think it's Institutional Baptist. First Institutional Baptist. I'm headed to there this morning. God bless you guys.
God bless. Everyone have an amazing day.
Yep. Bless you
Happy
all.
Happy Thanksgiving.
God bless you.
Thank you.
God bless.